Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis, and if you have a Bible question or an issue, a life issue that you'd like to discuss, whatever it is, give us a call right now at 844-322-2742, because it's Basic Gospel, and we want to hear from you. Again, that number, good in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Call now, because as I said, it is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're talking about living life on the edge and how oftentimes we as believers, we get discontent, dissatisfied with life. We get to feeling sorry for ourselves, and we start looking, our minds start looking toward the things of this world, those worldly temptations, those desires of the flesh, and they look really good to us at that point of self-pity when we're really feeling sorry for ourselves. And sin deceives us, and it makes it look like it's really going to satisfy us this time. It's really going to be something that we're going to just love. But that's the deceptive nature of sin. And we see that right at the beginning, right in the garden. So it says, now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord had made. He said to the woman, did God really say, you must not eat from any tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die. And the serpent said, you will not certainly die. Now, there's the lie. There's the deception. God had already said to Adam, the day that you eat of this tree, you will die.
Right.
Now, that's exactly what happened when they sinned, when they chose to eat, when they chose independence from God. They died spiritually.
Right.
They died physically some 900 years later, but spiritual death preceded physical death.
Right.
And so they passed on that spiritual death to all people. Now, in verse 6 of Genesis 3, we see this. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happens to us when we go through disappointments of life, and we couple those with faulty thinking like misplaced dependencies or unrealistic expectations. We find ourselves going into that pit of self-pity.
Yeah.
We start to feel sorry for ourselves. When we start to feel sorry for ourselves, the things of this world look desirable.
Yeah.
Now, they're not. Why? Because it's death. For Adam and Eve, the serpent made them fall in love with death. Have you ever thought about that? I mean, they fell in love with death so much so that they ate of that tree and they died. They died spiritually. They forfeited their life, their relationship with God the Father. And so they were cast out of the garden. And man has been trying to figure out where life is to be found ever since. And then Jesus came along. But so Satan deceived Eve, made the tree look desirable to her, and she ate. That's what he does to us when we're feeling sorry for ourselves. Now, he's trying to do this all the time, but we're vulnerable to his deceptions when we're feeling sorry for ourselves, and we see sin as desirable. We're falling in love with death. Now, a number of years ago, Mackenzie, our youngest, wanted a dog for her birthday. So Gina went to this no-kill shelter up in North Texas. It was about an hour away from our house, and she found this cute little puppy. And she picked it up, and she cuddled it, and that little puppy cuddled her, and it was just love at first sight for Gina.
All over.
And so she brought the puppy home. That was Mackenzie's birthday present. And boy, that look on Mackenzie's face when we gave it to her at her birthday party was just absolutely priceless. I mean, you couldn't ask for something better for parents. And she loved that dog and named it Trixie. Well, about a week into having Trixie, something happened. that little dog started getting pretty mean and would bark and bite and all of those sort of things. And we took it to several trainers. We did everything that we knew to do to kind of train it. And this one trainer said, I just don't know that there's any hope for this dog.
Wow.
And my mom came in town and little Trixie was there. And boy, mom went down to pet it, and Trixie just reached up and bit her and drew blood, and we knew we just couldn't keep her.
That was it.
Now, why do I share that story? Well, because Trixie was the cutest dog ever, and Satan makes sin look the exact same way.
Yeah.
And we don't realize that sin has a bite. And when we give in, it's going to take a bite out of us, and we're going to experience some very adverse consequences.
Right.
That's the nature of sin. But Satan is so good at the art of deception that he makes it look desirable to us. And we're weakest when we're feeling sorry for ourselves, when we're giving ourselves that big old pity party.
Yeah.
So how do we... how do we overcome? Well, I think the Word of God gives us a couple of good practical pieces of advice. The one is flee. When temptation is knocking, turn and run.
Sure.
Be like Joseph. When Potiphar's wife approached him, he turned and ran.
Yeah.
That's how you deal with temptation. So that's one way. And then we have to realize, hey, Lord, if I'm dissatisfied, Something's wrong inside of me, and help me to experience true contentment in you. That is really the antidote. That is really the victory that we have, is our contentment in Christ Jesus. When we're content in Christ, as the song says, the things of this world grow strangely dim.
He is our refuge.
Yes, indeed.
It is Basic Gospel, everybody. Good news, as always, on this edition with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis. I'm glad you're here, and we'd love to hear from you at 844-322-2742. If you're hearing the broadcast during the 3 p.m. Central Time hour, it is live, and we would love for you to come in and be a part of it. 844-322-2742. Well, Bob, in line with everything you're talking about, once again, something free and something very special for our Basic Gospel listeners.
Yes, indeed. A little booklet called Living Life on the Edge. I tell that story about Trixie in this book. It is just a wonderful reminder of who we are in Christ, what we have in Christ, and the tools, the weapons that we have available to us as far as standing firm when these temptations come our way. I think it's one of our best resources. It's free of charge, just free for the asking. We want to put this in your hands. And you can call right now or send an email to us, and you're going to give all that information on how somebody can request a free copy of our booklet, Living Life on the Edge.
And I'm going to do it right now.
We'll do it.
844-322-2742. You can call right now and speak with Michelle. Again, if you're hearing the broadcast during the 3 o'clock hour Central Time, you're hearing the live broadcast, and she's right there right now waiting for your phone call at 844-322-2742. Or you can go online and ask for your free copy of Living Life on the Edge, the booklet version of that. You can do that at basicgospel.net/life. Again, basicgospel.net/life for your free copy. We hope to take advantage of that today. Well, once again, that number, 844-322-2742. And Bob, in the meantime, let's go hear this question that came in overnight.
Hello, this is Maureen speaking from Stony Plain, Alberta, Canada. What part of the New Testament are we living in today? Thank you.
Well, that's a great question, and I'm sure that has to do with prophecy. Are we very near the end? Is Christ's return imminent? And the answer to that is absolutely yes. Paul believed his return was imminent in his day, and I think every generation, as people have looked at the times, as what was happening, they were always looking forward to Christ's return and thought it could happen at any moment.
Yeah.
But here's how I want to answer Maureen, and I think it's something that we all need to know and to fully understand. When you say what part of the New Testament, we have to realize that what you're really asking is this: what part of the New Covenant are we in today? Mm-hmm. And it's all of it.
Yes.
When Jesus Christ died on the cross, he ushered in this new covenant. And so it's a covenant that God made with himself that he put into effect through the blood of Christ, and we're beneficiaries. And we're heirs of this new covenant. Mm-hmm. Now, this new covenant is eternal, unlike the old covenant. The old covenant was time-stamped. Yeah. It started at Mount Sinai. It ended at Mount Calvary. Now, there were spiritual implications of that old covenant. As far as we're concerned, God used it as a tool in our lives to identify, to diagnose our need, to show us why the grace of God was the only way mm-hmm. for salvation. And once it had done that job, its purpose had been fulfilled, we turned to Christ, we received him, and now we're led by the Spirit of God. We're living in this new covenant. And as I said, this new covenant is eternal. It will never, ever end.
Yeah.
So we're in it, and we're going to enjoy kind of the full blessings of it once Christ returns. Mm-hmm. So what covenant are we in today? We're in the new covenant. We're not in the old covenant. That ended. We're in a brand new covenant. Jesus Christ ushered it in 2,000 years ago. So let's live in that blessing, in that favor that we have in Christ Jesus, and be a light in this world of darkness. There's going to come a day when Christ comes back. No one knows that day. And we can try to calculate it. We can look at headline news and try to, put that next to the Bible and say, well, I think that's what this prophecy is all about, and I think this means we're this much closer. And, you know, we can do all of that, but that's just sheer speculation.
Sure.
We do not know. So we need to live as if he's coming back in a minute.
This very day.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Let's live as if he's coming back today. And I think if we will have that as the attitude of our heart, then we will be able to allow Christ to fulfill his purposes in and through us in this present world that we're in.
Maureen, glad that you reached out to us. We love hearing from you, our listeners. However you reach out to us, you can do it through this phone number 24 hours a day at 844-322-2742. You can send an email to bob@basicgospel.net. You can go onto YouTube or Facebook and pose your questions, and we would love to hear from you any way that you choose to reach out to us. And here's another of those calls that came in overnight, Bob.
Hi there. I appreciate you taking my question. I was just curious, what standards does the Bible set for people's way of dress in church? And if a particular mode of dress isn't appropriate, whose job in the church is it to set that person right back on the right path if there is a certain standard? Thank you, and I appreciate it in advance.
Well, that's a great question, and I'm just going to go to the book of Colossians and read a passage. It says this: since you died with Christ to the elemental forces, spiritual forces of this world, why, as though you still belong to the world, do you submit to its rules? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. These rules, which have to do with things that are all destined to perish with use, are based on merely human commands and teachings. Such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. Now, we can get into dress codes and all sorts of things, but we have to realize that even though that has an appearance of wisdom, it's not going to do anything in restraining sensual indulgence. That's just the reality. As a matter of fact, those dress codes, those rules, those regulations can intensify those sensual desires. That's just the way it works. Paul talks about that. When the law flowed through our sinful flesh, it produced evil desires of every single kind. That's just the way it is. Now, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't take careful consideration on how we present ourselves out there in the world. There is a word called modesty. It's archaic now. Yeah. It's not something that many people adopt in their lives, but I think we can be modest in our dress. But that's just in learning. It's the byproduct, the result of learning who we are in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so as we learn who we are in Christ and understand this new identity that we have, then our attitudes are going to start to change, and our actions toward others are going to start to change. We're going to see them in a different light, and I think we will start dressing in light of who we are and those sort of things.
Yeah.
So we just need to continue to focus people's attention on who Jesus is and who Jesus has made them through his death, burial, and resurrection. And so when you understand who you are, then all things are going to flow from there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're an elder in a church, and I don't mean the position of elder, if you're an older person in the church and you see somebody that's younger and you are concerned about how they're presenting themselves, you take that person under your wing and you just begin to share life with them and you begin having conversations, but then you leave the results of that in God's hands. You can't push for a result. If you push for a result, it's going to backfire. That's just the way things work. So in love, express your heart to a person. Help them really start to understand who they are in Christ. Begin having that conversation, and those things will start to take care of themselves.
Yeah. Well, it's good to hear from this caller, and I hope that that was a help to you as well. It is Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis. Glad you're with us today. Again, open lines at 844-322-2742. And as we've said so many times, we need your help to continue to present the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ as it comes forth in the new covenant right here on Basic Gospel. We need your support to be able to continue to do that. But many of you who are listening right now don't know Basic Gospel well enough to make that decision to support it. Still, we want you to have a free copy of this booklet, Living Life on the Edge. If you're hearing the live broadcast at 3 p.m. Central Time, Bob, well, or that's 3 o'clock hour, I should say, you can call and speak with Michelle right now at 844-322-2742. Just tell her you'd like your copy of Living Life on the Edge, the booklet by that same name. Again, 844-322-2742. Or request your copy online at basicgospel.net/life. Again, that's basicgospel.net/life for your absolutely free copy of the booklet, Living Life on the Edge.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to McKinney, Texas, and talk to Lane. Hi, Lane. Welcome.
Hi. Thanks for having me. So I wanted to ask you a question about salvation.
Okay.
Obviously, that's a very popular topic. The main question I had was whether or not you can lose your salvation. And I'm a Baptist, so, of course, I was raised once saved, always saved. But I know it's a very controversial question, and I've gotten a bunch of different answers. So I was just wondering what your answer was for that.
Well, Lane, the short answer is no, you can't lose salvation. And here's why I say that. The whole goal of salvation was for God to get himself back into man. Okay? So God forgave our sins. He took them all away, forgave everyone. He made us holy. That's what we see in the book of Hebrews chapter 10. By that one will, he has made us holy by his shed blood. He has given us his righteousness. He who knew no sin became sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. He made us alive together with Christ. So he regenerated these dead spirits of ours, all for the purpose of sending his spirit to take up residence in us. So he forgave our sins. He made us holy. He gave us his righteousness. He made us alive together with Christ. And then he sent his spirit to live inside of us, to indwell us. And his spirit seals us as one of God's very own. And he has promised he will never leave us nor forsake us. So that's the reason we can't lose our salvation, is because our salvation is Christ himself. Christ himself comes to live inside of us, and once Christ is there, he's never going to leave us, and he's prepared us in such a way that we are compatible with him. He is fully alive, isn't he? He is righteous. He is holy. And he couldn't live in a vessel that was unforgiven, unholy, unrighteous, or dead. So he forgave us. He made us holy, made us righteous, made us alive so that he could come and live inside of us. And because he lives, we live. Because he has an indestructible life, we have an indestructible life. And he has saved us forever and completely. That's the good news, isn't it?
Amen.
So can we lose our salvation? Absolutely not.
No.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Lane. Thanks for your call. Come see us. We're having a conference right here in Dallas, September 6th and 7th. We would love for you to come join us.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
All that information is available online at basicgospel.net/events, and we would love to see you.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go to another caller right here in Dallas listening to us on The Word. Hi, Jerry.
Hello.
Welcome.
Thank you.
What's on your mind today?
Well, my question is, how do you know when you're in God's good and perfect will?
Well, Jerry, if you're in Christ, you are in God's perfect will.
Yep.
Jesus Christ is God's perfect will for man. And God's will for you was for you to believe in Jesus and to be placed in Jesus. So once you're in Jesus, you're in God's perfect will, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So he also says that his will is the new covenant. So you live in a new covenant. So you're experiencing the very will of God in your life. God remembers your sins no more. That's great news. That's God's will for you. Why does he choose not to remember your sins? Because Christ bore your sins once and for all 2,000 years ago. And his sacrifice was sufficient to take away your sins forever. So in this new covenant, in this will of God, God remembers your sins no more. He's made access to a relationship with him available to you. So you know God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. You are a part of the people of God. You belong to the body of Christ. And he has sent his Spirit to take up residence in you, writing the laws of faith, hope, and love on your heart. So you're in that new covenant. You are in the will of God. You're experiencing those benefits right now, all because you're in Christ. It's good news, isn't it?
Yes, sir, it is.
Yeah, so what does that look like on a day-to-day basis? It looks like simply trusting and thanking him for all that Jesus is, for all that he has done through his death, burial, and resurrection, and all that he's doing in and through you right now. That's why God says this is the will of God, that you give thanks in all things. Well, knowing who you are in Christ, knowing that you live in the new covenant, knowing that you're in Christ, that makes that heart really, really thankful. And when you're expressing that thankfulness, you are expressing to God that you are in his perfect will.
Well, thank you.
Well, you're welcome, Jerry. Hey, thanks for your call. Let me put you on hold. We'll send you some resources we would love to put in your hands, okay?
Yes, indeed.
You hang
thank
on.
You.
Friends, again, we need your help to continue to proclaim the truth of God and his word in Jesus Christ and this new covenant that we talk about every day on Basic Gospel. And you can donate right now by going online to basicgospel.net. Click that big prominent donate link right there on the homepage. Or you can call anytime, 844-322-2742, and make arrangements to make your contribution to solidify the ongoing health of this ministry to proclaim Jesus as we go forward. We hope you'll be a part of that. You can drop us an email if you have a question. it, send it to bob@basicgospel.net. We'd love to hear from you. Well, we're out of time for this edition, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, who's no longer here, and for all of us at the ministry, we'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.